5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello and welcome to Hysteria. I'm Erin Ryan. This week, Alyssa Mastromonaco, California State Rep Christy Smith, and Naomi Ekperigin join to tackle the following questions. How has the pandemic changed campaigning? What woman will win the Veep stakes? What's a Karen, and why is she calling the police? Answers to these and more starting now. I realized this week that COVID-19 may have killed FOMO for the time being, which is great because it's one of my least favorite feelings, the fear of missing out. Because all of the people who are willing to go out in big crowded spaces right now are sort of the worst people who I wouldn't want to hang out with anyway. So there is no FOMO until it's safe for everybody to go out anymore. So with that being said, to talk about a bunch of stuff that isn't the pandemic, I'm going to call my friend, former White House Deputy Chief of Staff under President Barack Obama, and the Michael Jordan of rescuing cats with smushed faces, Alyssa Mastromonaco.
Welcome to the spring of my discontent.
Ooh, I'm pretty sad too, but I'm glad I got you to talk
to.
Me
too. Let's just try to pull this shit out of the dumpster today, shall we?
Yeah, I'm like pretty tired of like sitting on the same furniture and thinking the same thoughts, and it's a real claustrophobic time, and the news doesn't help at all.
It doesn't, not even a little bit. Nothing really helps. Technology doesn't help. Nothing's helping.
You want to know something though? The other day I had a moment where I was like, I was grateful. I had like this flood of gratitude.
Okay.
I was playing with the cat. And of course that is like a running around activity. I was hiding behind a corner in like my house has a lot of corners and I was like hiding behind a corner and I tried to turn my head real quick and I smacked the side of my nose. Like it hurt really. I have like, I think a little scratch right here, but well, it was, first of all, as the second I hit my nose, I'd broken my nose before when I was a kid. And the second I hit it, I was like, oh my God, I will be so mad at myself if I broke my nose playing with the cat. And then second thing I thought was like, aren't you glad your nose isn't broken? Like, what a beautiful life you live at this moment. Like, it didn't occur to me until that second to not be grateful that my nose wasn't broken.
I get it.
Yeah. Your nose isn't broken either.
That's the gratitude. No, it's like the other day, because, you know, at the beginning of this pandemic, as I told everyone, I sprained my ankle, right? And It's still not great. It's still not great. The walks I take still consist of my driveway and the cul-de-sac down the other end of the road. And I was like, you know what? Thank God it's not worse than it is. Thank God I can walk down the driveway. So yeah, we're finding our own things to be grateful for. There are a lot of things, of course, to be grateful for, but no, I feel your nose.
Wait, yeah. Like when you're in pain, you're like, I'm so glad it's not worse.
Yeah, it's like when you get a cold in the winter. I mean, the coronavirus is obviously a whole other fucking thing, but when you're like, God, I'll never take breathing for granted ever again when you have like the stuffy nose. So that's kind of like where we're at. We're just being grateful for like things functioning properly on our bodies.
Exactly. I'm also grateful for, women who have been able to keep their energy up and plow headfirst into campaigning during a time that's so weird and strange. So I want to talk to one of the women that is running for office in a special election, which are easy to forget about, which is why we're harping on them so much. You want to talk to a candidate for a seat in a special election?
Let's talk to a bad bitch.
Let's talk to a bad bitch. Okay. I'm going to introduce our guest today. California State Assemblywoman Christy Smith is the Democrat running in the special election to serve the rest of former Rep. Katie Hill's term in California's 25th congressional district. The race is currently a toss-up, and Republicans see it as one of their best pickup opportunities. So they're making a big investment. So if you live in the district, make sure to return your ballot as soon as possible, and you can go to votesaveamerica.com/CA25 to find out how you can donate or volunteer, no matter where you live. So without any further ado, let's give Christy Smith a call. Hi, Christy.
Hi. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, it's great to be here.
We're very happy to talk to you, albeit remotely in Brady Bunch style.
I love that. All in the boxes.
So, Christy, how are you and your family doing, first of all? And how are they doing with the campaign for your seat?
Oh, thank you. That's a great question. You know, we're doing okay through the crisis. I have two grown kids. My kids are 24 and 20. So this is a lot more family togetherness than we've been used to in a while, which has its interesting challenges. But, you know, glad they're both home safe. You know, and we've been faring okay. But we know how much harder it is for a lot of other families right now who have, you know, lost jobs or have had a loved one be sick. So all things considered, we're doing all right.
Can you tell me a little bit about your district? What do you love the most about it? What makes it unique? And why did you decide to run to represent it?
Oh, thanks. You know what I love the most about my district is geographically, it's literally divided into four valleys in California, obviously a lot of mountains and valleys. And so it's Simi Valley, San Fernando Valley, Santa Clarita Valley, and the Antelope Valley. And each one of those communities has its own distinct kind of, you know, personality and ethos. But at the heart of all of it is just this great sense of community, which really is why I decided to run. When the seat became open because of Congresswoman Hill's resignation, there was a lot of outside interest from all over Southern California because people see an open seat and they want to be a member of Congress, which, you know, all fine and good for them. But there wasn't anybody running with the same level of commitment and connectivity to the people in these communities that I've had as a public servant here for 10 years now. So decided that I wanted to jump in to make sure that the interests of the community continued to be represented by someone who cared more about the people than the spot itself.
Christy, California 25 flipped from red to blue in 2018. It is obviously vitally important that we keep this blue going into 2020. How are you engaging your voters right now? Is it just virtual? Is it phone calls? How are you campaigning?
Yeah, it's literally everything's digital, whether we're texting people, calling them, or doing virtual check-ins with people. We're not doing any door-to-door handshaking or doing in-person town halls, which has been a challenge because I'm a candidate who actually likes that. I think I get a better sense of what's going on in the community and a feeling for what people's needs and challenges are. But we're making it happen, and we just have this wonderful investment from activists all over the country. I mean, we've literally had people phone banking from as far away from us as Brooklyn. So from Brooklyn to the San Francisco Bay, Democrats all over the country are chipping in to help by phone and by text, and it's been pretty amazing.
When you are talking to people, what are they saying the issues that are like top of the mind for them? I mean, even in the middle of COVID, do people have other issues on their minds?
You know, not really. And our callers, when they're talking to people, are prepared to, you know, go through a full range of issues and what my positions and platforms are. But right now in this moment, people are very focused on this pandemic. And so our callers are also equipped with resources that people might need. So we're using these as opportunities to check in with the community. And each one of our callers has, for instance, the domestic violence helpline, the suicide prevention helpline, connections to my stateside office and other officials if people need help with their unemployment insurance, if they need to know where the closest testing center is. So it's been a good opportunity to be good, you know, community partners in this effort and talk to people about whatever's on their mind. But first and foremost, for a lot of the people we're talking to, it's how am I going to make my next rent payment? Where's my next grocery bill going to be covered? And when are we getting back to normal? And Those are, you know, some of those questions we can answer with assistance to connecting them to unemployment and resources. But, you know, the normal question is going to be a whole lot longer planning. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like some of the, like that the campaigning is actually much less partisan than you would have expected since it's very COVID specific?
In some senses, yes. I think amongst our base voters, you see that it's still incredibly partisan. And then, you know, the fastest growing demographic of voters in this district actually is declined to state. And they really don't care at this point what your political affiliation is. They just want to see effective leadership. And so those are easier conversations to have because that's where I like to lean in.
Mm-hmm. On the COVID topic, because it's all anybody can talk about. For women in particular, who make up the like vast majority of healthcare workers, how will you, as a representative, prioritize the needs of healthcare workers who are dealing with the fallout of COVID now and in the upcoming months and years?
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that question. I'm a daughter of a nurse. So true. And one of the things that we've grappled with here in California, first and foremost, is that the idea that these people need childcare and they need it now. A lot of daycare facilities were closed immediately and schools are closed. And so you're talking about frontline essential workers now needing a place for their children to be safely taken care of. And so we're trying to solve that problem here in California. I think that we need the recognition that all of these public, you know, I hate to even call them protests because protesting against reality is kind of an odd juxtaposition. But, you know, for those people who are taking those risks outside of what public health recommendations are, you're really putting that frontline community of essential workers at risk. And it is not worth it. You're talking about people who go home from work every day and have to worry, not only are they going to get sick, but are they infecting their families as well? So doing everything we can to get them what they need, PPE as they need it, refreshed as they need it, none of this, you know, reusing of masks. Let's get them masks and gowns and face shields and all the protective equipment they need. Let's rotate out and get them appropriate downtime so that they are not so overworked that their immune system isn't working. And, you know, here in California, we set up that volunteer health corps. We can start relieving some of those medical teams and giving them some relief. And then understanding that they probably at this point deserve hazard pay. You know, nobody should be placed on the front lines under these circumstances and not be compensated for then all of the, you know, other consequences like needing additional childcare, you know, probably having to do twice as much laundry as you would ordinarily do. And just the realities that these people are dealing with. And then further, I mean, it was a little disheartening to me to have seen, you know, we already lost that one physician to suicide in New York. We also have to recognize that people who have been on the front lines of this crisis are going to need mental health help and support. It has been likened by a number of professionals to PTSD experienced, you know, by professionals in the field during time of war. They're really going to need that help and support to transition out of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has been really interesting to see like women's work, and I'm putting it in air quotes, which is a lot of times largely invisible. Like you were talking about childcare, teachers, nurses. Mm-hmm. Really, it's like really visible and apparent right now how important
Absolutely.
That all is.
Yeah.
So it's really great that you're thinking about that. So I'm sure you are. This has been a question that I'm sure that you're tired of being asked, but I have to ask it. The circumstances around Katie Hill's resignation, we had her on the show recently, and what conservative media tried to do to her feels very dirty and awful. And knowing that that's the environment that you're stepping into, I don't want to ask, are you scared? But are you scared?
Yeah. First and foremost, let's go with, yes, it was awful. And I know some of the players involved in what happened to Katie. And unfortunately, these are people in this district who have been up to this kind of garbage for a really long time. And it needs to stop. I'm already being subjected to it. I mean, my opponent and the Republican Party are taking my record and bending it and distorting it in ways that just kind of defy reality, defy the truth. But what I am hopeful of is that voters finally realize in this moment that if those are the people who are wanting to represent you and that's how they conduct themselves, it says a lot more about them and what you can expect of them than it does about the service they're going to provide to you. I mean, especially when it comes to, you know, lying and distortion and just, you know, outright being willing to take apart someone's personal and private life, we've got to get beyond that, because it's not serving anybody well. The focus really should be about competence and leadership and who is ready to kind of lead the charge to get us out of this moment and out of this environment, not who can wave their Trump flag the highest.
Christy, mm-hmm. How can Hysteria listeners help you cross the finish line next Tuesday and win?
Oh, that's a really great question. First of all, become part of the team. You know, if you want to check in through our website, christyforcongress.org, and volunteer, take a couple of texting shifts or a couple of phone banking shifts. We can accommodate you from wherever you are in this country, and we'll be glad to have you. And contribute if you can. These closing days are going to be very, very expensive. We are spending every amount of resource we have as fast as we get it to stay on TV and to communicate with our voters through every medium that we can safely reach them through. So all that help and support is appreciated. Tweet about us, like us on all our social media, and kind of help us elevate this race, because while folks aren't paying attention now, we know that if the Republicans take this seat back, they're going to make this kind of their flagship thing. And we just don't want to let that happen. Mm-hmm.
Christy, thank you so much for being with us today and stopping by and telling us what you'll do for California's 25th.
All right. Well, thank you, women. Have a great day.
See ya.
See ya.
Christy Smith isn't the only special election happening on May 12th in Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District. Democrat Trisha Zunker is on the ballot. If you're a regular listener, you know that she has stopped by the show and she's awesome. And you also know that the district she's running to represent is my home district. My parents still live there, so it is near and dear to me. She is currently an Associate Justice of the Ho-Chunk Supreme Court in the Ho-Chunk Nation in Wisconsin and would be the first Native American member of Congress from the state of Wisconsin, which is long overdue. Find out more at votesaveamerica.com/Wisconsin, and please support your candidates for office in special elections if you live in one of those districts. Okay, Alyssa, now let's play something. You want to play a game?
Erin, I love games.
Okay, good. It's a game that I'm calling Woman Fantasy League. This is a game where we just pick a woman. And the woman that wins is the number one woman.
Is like the number one woman in America?
Top woman. Yeah. The reason I'm calling this Woman Fantasy League, I'm referring to the Veep stakes. I'm referring to Joe Biden's pledge to select a woman to be vice president. What woman? We don't know.
Anyone. A woman.
Rebecca Traister has kind of... A woman. Rebecca Traister has joked about this in her columns recently. A woman. It's going to be a woman. So let's go through some of the women that it could be and kind of do a power ranking. And then let's talk about women that we wish were in the mix that maybe aren't.
Can okay? we just, like, for a quick second, though, talk about the fact that it's definitely a woman?
It's a woman. It's a woman.
It's a woman. Did you feel stoked about that when Vice President Biden decreed that it would be a woman?
Okay. So I feel like a lot of times... And I know I'm going to get some flack for this, but I feel like a lot of times men in a generation where they don't necessarily have muscle memory to be equality minded. And so they have to make a concerted effort to go out of their way because it's not part of the way that they've always done things. It's a new thing that they're trying to learn how to do. I think sometimes men of a certain generation tend to be a little bit clumsy in their pursuit of helping in the quest for equality. As a woman, I found myself getting a little bit irked about the idea that he was just picking a woman. It's like, you don't say that part loud. You know what I mean?
No, I totally agree. I cringed. I was like, why can't you just announce who it's going to be? And it ends up being a woman. Like, you can make the commitment mm-hmm. to yourself that you think that's the right thing to do in 2020. But no, I agree. I wish that he had not said that part out loud.
Or he could have been like, all of the candidates I'm considering are really awesome women.
Right.
Like all of my top candidates are
well,
women.
And you know, so going back to when I was a little baby, Politico, the vice presidential search for the two past Democratic nominees was like my job. And they're always a bit of a beauty contest, you know, like in the press and like how people position themselves. But like when he just says it's all women, it just starts really feeling like a weird beauty contest.
Yeah.
Who's got talent, yeah, poise, and personality?
I mean, Miss Congeniality will end up being AG.
Right.
Miss Ageniality.
I like what you did there.
I don't like what I did at all. And I feel like I need to stop. Alyssa, like you said, you have this background in the search for VP. So I'm going to list some of the women that have been kind of bandied about as front runners in the press recently. And I would love to know your impression of them. So let's start with our pal. She's not our pal, but I like to imagine she's our, I think I could be a good friend to her. Let's start with Kamala Harris.
Kamala Harris.
She seems like someone I'd be friends with. I really like her.
I mean, look, let's be honest. The cooking video, the tuna fish video with Mark Warner was one of the funniest things I've seen in a long time. Let's see. She's pros for Kamala. She's bad bitch. I think that if she were to be picked, there's like a lot of good footage of her being like not just a prosecutor, but like the Kavanaugh hearings. Like she's on Judiciary. So I feel like that she's just got a lot of great qualities and would destroy Mike Pence in a debate. Like, right? That's one of the things is like if there's one public matchup of whoever the vice president is, it's that very public debate, which could be delicious. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, the only thing I think personally about Kamala is that she doesn't have like the hugest grassroots network, and Joe Biden kind of has very limited grassroots network. And so in my view, like when I'm thinking about people, I'm like, if he's going to pick someone, I feel like it's someone who's like network can truly be activated. And I'm not sure that she's like top 5% on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also think that she has, I mean, her record is being an attorney general. Like she became like a national figure because she was California's attorney general. And part of that is being somebody who sometimes takes the sides that people on the more progressive end of the party wouldn't necessarily like. So there is a lot of good footage of Kamala Harris being tough in Judiciary hearing meetings. Oh my gosh, there's a cat.
Midge wants to participate today. She's out of control. Okay. I don't know what I'm going to do. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
No, she's literally on a fucking ledge with a 20-foot drop in front of me. So if I lurch, it's because I'm stopping her from jumping.
Cats are stupid.
Stupid.
They're so stupid.
Love her, but...
Yeah, my cat got so mad at me that she tried to die. Like, they're so dumb. Anyway... The thing about Kamala is I think that her record isn't something that's exciting to people that are on the more progressive right. end of the party. And I think that it is important for Joe Biden to consider the fact that the Bernie wing of the party is really important to the future mm-hmm. of the Democratic Party. And it's a lot more, like you said, turned on and activated than Kamala's
yeah.
network. But I think, look, just total policy stuff aside, I feel like Kamala would be my friend.
You know what, Erin? I think she would be your friend. And I think that she would accept me as a friend as well.
That would be cool. Okay, let's move on to another woman who is extremely formidable and awesome. It's Stacey Abrams. What do you think about Stacey Abrams as a VP candidate?
So Stacey checks a lot of boxes for me because she has a very active grassroots network. She is... just like laser focused. Everything about her, I just think is very exciting as a VP candidate. Yeah, that's basically it. I think she's exciting.
I saw her speak in person once. I mean, everybody's seen her. Most people have seen her speak on TV because I think she did a Democratic response to the State of the Union. Yeah. But I've seen her speak in front of a crowd and it's like, she's amazing. Like, I know that being a candidate for office is more than your ability to be a public speaker. She's unbelievable.
But it matters. Like, public speaking does matter. I mean, how you can energize people. Like, picture her speech at the convention. That's like some hot shit.
Yeah. It's like being in church. She's so compelling.
Also, when I met her, so. She gave me a hug that made me feel loved.
That's a skill. That's a dying
it
art.
Was.
And also, like, I miss hugs. I mean, I hate hugs.
Can't wait to hug you.
I'm going to hug everybody once this is all done. Okay, let's talk about Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar. What do you think of her as a potential running mate for Joe Biden?
True story. That one's a hard pass for me. Well, I think she's got the same, like, prosecutor issues. She was the DA of Hennepin County, right? Did I say that right? You Minnesotan?
Yes, you did. Yes.
But I don't think she's that exciting. I don't think she checks the boxes. If Joe Biden appeals to the very moderate part of the party, I think that she also does. And without a significant grassroots network, I just don't know, like, what you get, you know? And I'm not someone who believes that, like, if you pick someone, you're going to get the state that they vote, that they're from, like in the general. Do you know what I mean? Like sometimes that's a calculus, like, oh, if I pick John Edwards in 2004, we'll get North Carolina. Like it rarely works. And so I just, you know, she would not be top three for me. Let's say that.
Mm-hmm. I do think that she would be a very effective surrogate in a couple of really important places. She reminds me of a lot of women that I knew growing up, like teachers that I had and like people that I went to church with. And I think that she's got a really like straightforward public, she's got, especially in the debates, we saw that she was really good at kind of talking to the people that she was talking to. I just think that the people that she's talking to are not enough people to justify her being the VP, but she would like kill among Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois, Michigan moms. Like she's just like, it seems like she's a very no bullshit person when it comes to the way that she presents herself. And that I think matters a lot.
You are right. I amend slightly what I said before, because she is the one person I said every single debate came with a plan and fucking executed. And very few other people on the stage ever came with the fucking, like she came to kill, and you know, you need that. So I give her credit in that one too.
Let's talk about Michigan's governor, speaking of the Midwest, Michigan's governor, Gretchen Whitmer. What do you think about her?
So I think she's awesome. I think that she's doing a great job. I think that since Michigan is one of the harder hit states from COVID, that it's a little hard to pick her because they're still going to be going through so much shit and like they still need so much support that if like she's the governor and she's out campaigning and being, I just think it's easy to attack her, not because she's not an awesome, smart, tough person, but because just the circumstance I think makes her less desirable. I was going to say attractive and that was the wrong word, but I think that she, I think that she comes with an attack, an easier line of attack from Republicans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is something I've thought about during the primary. There were a few states in the Midwest that Bernie Sanders had won in 2016 that Joe Biden won in 2020. And some people who were, you know, analyzing that said that it looks like it might be that people weren't really voting, that some of the people who voted for Bernie in 2016 were actually voting against Hillary Clinton. Right. And I think that might've been the case in the general election that some people weren't voting for Trump. They're voting against Hillary Clinton. And like that fucking sucks. That's dumb. Don't vote. I mean, don't vote out of spite, even though I'm a petty and spiteful person. I would never vote that way. But the possibility that Gretchen Whitmer could inspire any amount of spite vote among Republicans in the Midwest makes me like, and also the necessity of her to her state's continued recovery from as they battle COVID. I agree with you on those points, Alyssa. I think that's a really important thing to
raise. Thank you, Captain.
I do like her a lot, though. I think that we're going to see a lot of her, and I welcome it. I think that's going to be great. Now let's get to our lady, Liz Warren. What do you think of our girl, Liz?
E-dubs. I mean, look, I think that she, so many women specifically, put their heart and soul into campaigning for her, and she was just She was a phenomenal campaigner, and that matters. I mean, she is, you cannot tire the woman. She fucking takes a licking and keeps on ticking. I mean, in a post-COVID world, I think the selfie lines are probably gone. But, and she had a really, mm-hmm. really strong grassroots base, because remember, like, again, like, I'm so, I harp on this, but Joe Biden has the big dollar money locked up, right? But those people, as we have discussed, have a finite giving potential. And the difference between, I mean, nobody did it better than Bernie, is that he has like 10 million people who give $20 at a time, which makes their giving potential nearly unlimited. And EW probably comes in a close second to that level of ability to bring in unlimited funds. And so on top of the plans, she's got grassroots support and money. And I also think her team could like help up the Biden merch game. You know, I mean, EW had, I mean, it's not a thing. Like, that's how you raise grassroots money too. And I could just, I want, mm-hmm. I hope someone is listening from Team Biden, because please hire her merch people, because it would make them unstoppable.
Totally. I think my only, I love Elizabeth Warren. We have some Warren merch in this house. but the thing I bump up against with her is that I think that there are other candidates who are progressive. Well, I think there is other candidate for VP who is progressive and inspiring and a great campaigner and grassroots, and also bring something to the table that Elizabeth Warren doesn't bring. And that is somebody who looks a little bit like the voting base of the Democratic Party. I don't know that an all-white ticket is something that's going to reflect who votes for Democrats and reflect the future of the party. And I love Elizabeth Warren. And if she were to be the VP nominee, if any of these women were to be the VP nominee, I would be like, golf clap. Good for them. But the person that makes me the most excited is not Elizabeth Warren.
Okay.
It's Stacey Abrams.
I mean, I'm down with that.
Who is your favorite?
I would say that I am tied between Stacey and EW. That, like mm-hmm. you said, any of them, great, hurrah. Maybe there's some dark horse candidate we don't know about. But I would say Stacey or EW would make me fucking very happy.
Mm-hmm. What are some candidates that aren't even being mentioned at all that you think would be either funny wild cards or just like something interesting to make you feel something in this time of weirdness?
Okay, I've got one for you.
Okay.
Ayanna Pressley.
Okay. You know how much I love yes. Ayanna Pressley. The first time I ever saw her was at an Emily's List event. And it was like, she's incredible. She was a city council member in the city of Boston the first time I ever encountered her. And she's just like, she's amazing.
She's amazing. She was my first, one of my first bosses in politics.
Whoa.
Yes, Ayanna. So I have known her for a very long time, and I just think that she brings, like, she's real, she says what's on her mind, and she's progressive, but, like, you know, she's always been considered part of the squad, but she diverges, you know, she has her own opinions and says what she thinks, and she's super respectful and just considers everything from A to Z when she's making decisions, and I was just like, I would be fucking down with Ayanna as VP.
Yeah, me too.
Right?
Are there any non-politicians or celebrities that would be, look, we're playing fantasy league. So like, what would be if Joe Biden had to pick a celebrity who is not a politician, who would you want to see him pick?
So if I had to pick a celebrity, I'm super basic and I think I would probably still double down on Oprah.
Really?
I think so. I just think that like, she'd fucking govern. She'd hire great people. She's smart. She's not super overly progressive. I think that she'd be a great debater. I just think she's got mm-hmm. it all.
I just think we couldn't let her help pick the Surgeon General, given Drs. Oz and Phil.
Agree. That
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you. And most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Would have to be taken out of her hands.
I think it would be really funny to see Chrissy Teigen on any political ticket.
Agree.
Just because she says exactly what is on her mind, and usually what is on her mind is the correct thing. And it is unfiltered
and
funny and self-effacing and great. She says what we're thinking, you know?
She does. And her hot takes are the hottest takes. And so I completely co-sign. Chrissy, let us run your campaign. We will be here for you.
All right. That is all the time we have for news. Happy to do this Women Fantasy League thing with you, Alyssa. I'm sure it won't be the first time we power rank the women. but we have to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk personal political. Okay, we have reached the Brady Bunch section of the show where there are three of us instead of two of us. Alyssa Mastromonaco is still here with me. I'm also going to welcome the host of Couples Therapy, which you can see live on Twitch every Wednesday, not playing games, playing podcast. It's Naomi Ekperigin. How are you?
Good. How are you doing? I haven't seen your shining face in so long.
Oh, thank you for noticing how shiny it is.
I've missed that. The EGR wit.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You look radiant. It's great to see you.
Blessings. Thank you so much for your kindness. I did wear a bold lip in your honor.
Oh, I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I didn't. I'm feeling like an orphan from like old England who's like needs to be wheeled out in the garden to get sunlight. Oh, I want to touch the flowers. Nana, I can't do a British accent. Naomi, what have you been up to? Tell me about your latest adventure.
I mean, trying my best to survive, being savagely judged at Trader Joe's. I went to TJ's yesterday, and I hadn't been in over a month. So, as you can imagine, I loaded up. All right, I loaded up. It was a two-cart situation. Okay.
Two cards.
Honey, the frozen needs its own section.
You're right, it does.
Thank you. And then when we're checking out, the cashier was like, you must have a big family, huh? Excuse you? Granted, I do have three animal children, but that's neither here nor there. And I felt like, I was like, well, I'm not going to be back here for 4 weeks. Basically, I got to load up. Yeah, I got four cereals. That's just what you need to live.
Were they all four the same type, or were they four different cereals?
No. Four the same.
Oh, awesome.
I like what I like.
That's pandemic hoarding for sure.
Wait, what are your frozen go-tos from Trader Joe's?
Well, okay. Love their tater tots. Latkes. Mm. All the frozen fruits to make smoothies, you know, and feel like, ooh, I'm refreshed. I'm out on the town. It's summertime. and sometimes I started getting salmon. I'm making salmon nowadays. And that's like pretty big for me because I'm always scared to cook anything that you could fuck up.
You could get sick from.
Yes, exactly. So like it's big. I'm like, okay, the salmon changes color. So that's how you know it's ready.
That is helpful of the salmon to do that. They used to have these things at Trader Joe's. I haven't even ventured in because it's the one near us, the line, it's like a nightclub. And yeah. I refuse to stand in line for nightclubs. Why would I stand in line for food? You know, like I'm right. not... I could go, there are other grocery stores. But even though the dried mango isn't as good at the other grocery stores, but, there used to be this like edamame nugget that was like, so it's like fake chicken yeah. edamame nugget and they don't make them anymore. And every time I go there, I look, you know how, like when a dog is on a walk and it finds like a piece of peanut butter and it eats it on the walk. And then the next time you're there, it looks for the peanut butter. Like this is where the peanut butter is.
Yep,
like,
yep.
I get the peanut butter here. I go to the frozen food section where the edamame like nuggets used to be.
Right.
And I look for them and they're never there. I'm like, well next time I'll come look. Maybe I'll get the peanut butter.
That's when you have to go down the Google rabbit hole and be like, do the edamame tater tots still exist?
Well, I have looked.
Maybe you can get them on eBay.
Oh, God. eBay frozen tater tots.
Who knows?
I feel like everybody needs to have some program. When you get a new, like, debit or credit card, you should have to program purchases in there that if you make that purchase, they alert the authorities. Like, me buying old Trader Joe's food on eBay is like a very specific, like call the police.
Right. An intervention is necessary.
Right. Or call my mom. Call my mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I need somebody to intervene. Exactly. I want to get into, speaking of moms, this is my segue. I want to get into a meme slang sort of, yeah, I guess it's my kind of more of a meme now that has really taken off during this time of pandemic. And that is the word Karen. So Naomi, it's been the longest since I've seen you. Do you know what a Karen is?
Well, a Karen is a white woman of a certain age who is... she's going to stop fun and joy. Usually the fun and joy of a brown person, of a brown youth, any sort of gathering. Not simply fun as well. Karen cares about minor infractions and believes you should be punished. That's what I've got. That's what I've got on a Karen.
Okay. Alyssa, do you have any Karen thoughts? Did you know what a Karen, you knew what a Karen was before?
Because people fucking Karen me on Twitter and it's bullshit because there is a very important distinction is that a Karen is not just a middle-aged white woman, which I am. She's a killjoy asshole who always wants to talk to the manager and does things like call the police on kids selling water to raise money for a fucking trip to Disney World. Okay, that's a Karen. And I feel like the secondary description needs to be a very strong part of the definition because people like okay Karen'd me on Twitter because I talked about facts of life. Like fuck the fuck off.
What?
That doesn't make me a Karen.
Why? No. What'd you say about facts of life? That was what would they accuse you of Karening? That's a good show.
Did you call the police? Did you call the police on Facts of Life?
No, I said that my cats had the personality of Facts of Life characters, obviously. Just funny as hell. I mean, maybe it's not funny, but it's not Karen.
Right.
And so anyway, I just got some replies that were like, okay, Karen. And I felt really targeted because I would never call the police on anybody unless someone abusing another person, like... That's it.
That's a misappropriation of Karen.
Yeah.
Yes. Get it right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I feel like the Karen meme just got a name. Like the speak to the manager persona is something that has kind of been in the crosshairs of public ridicule for a few years. It's like, oh, a white woman calling the police on like people having a graduation barbecue or like that's it feels like that meme is kind of, but it's really come to a head recently. And one thing that I found is really interesting about the new Karen is the new Karen, old Karen was calling the police and being like, please, police come and protect me, cater to my whims. Your job is to make the world around my preferences. Like, and when you don't do that, it is a violation of me and I'm going to freak out. Like, I feel like the freak out is a really important part of the Karen.
Yeah.
But now we're seeing like protests from people who don't want to adhere to public health guidelines, and it's full of ex-Karens. What do you make of the fact that there's been a flip between Karens running to the authorities to, you know, to tell the, to tattle, and Karens being the ones that are like, get out of my way, cops. I want to lay on this Laguna Beach.
I mean, I think it has to do, in both instances, you're talking about control. And again, if Karen wants to feel in control of her surroundings, in control of her world, and that includes other people, then this flip to saying, authorities, you don't tell me where I can and cannot go. You don't tell me that I cannot get my roots done. You know, mm-hmm. that is about, I think it is a flip, but it still comes from the same desire to like just control the world, meaning their world. You know, I'm not saying they're like pinky in the brain, but also, it's a, but at the same time, you know, people are talking about Karen, but think about it, right? What you were saying before, the Karen who would call the cops on a barbecue, that was Becky. That was Barbecue Becky, right? And like uh-huh. 2 years ago or just a year and a half, it was all Becky, Becky, Becky. Before yeah. Becky, it was Megan. Megan Gailey from this very pod, you know, she has wonderful jokes about being like, I'm a Megan and I look like a Megan. You know what I mean? Like, there's always been a little name, a shorthand for that person. And it just feels like Karen is the new one.
Mm-hmm. What's the most Karen behavior you've ever witnessed? Karen, Becky, or Megan? Any of the
right,
names?
Right. Huh. Well, it was funny. Recently, I was like a couple months ago, it was pre-corona. I was walking my dog, you know, my angel, my one true love. And she was stopping to probably sniff where she thought there was peanut butter. And she like would not move. And so I'm standing there just kind of like looking off into space being like, this is your time, do what you have to do. And there's a woman, I'm like in front of a parking lot. I'm not even, literally I'm not paying attention. And she's loading her kids into her car. And she turns, she kind of looks at me and is like, do you need something? And I was like, no, I was like, I'm standing here. I was like, no, my dog just won't move, you know, tried to make a joke. And then she comes around, looks to like verify that I have an animal. And then it's like, oh, and then she goes, she's cute. And then like I ran away, like tried to save it. And that was like the first time in a while that I had been on the receiving end of a little bit of, what are you doing here?
Yeah. Karening?
Yeah.
The Karening? It sounds like a sequel to a horror movie.
No.
Becky 2, The Karening.
Produced by Blumhouse. Let's do it.
Alyssa, have you ever seen like really Karen behavior?
Yeah, I do think that the pandemic has brought out some fucking real Karen behavior because I was at the liquor store, which is of course an essential store.
Essential business.
An essential business. Yes. And I go in, I know what I want. And guess what? There are not a ton of liquor stores up here. So sometimes they're out of your shit. Fucking move on. And you're only allowed in the store like two at a time. And so I was gathering all of the Pinot Noir and tequila that they had left. And this woman wanted some fucking specific kind of like Malibu rum. It wasn't Malibu, but it was just as bad. And she was like harassing the guy behind the plexiglass with the mask on. And she's like, can you check in the back? You must have it. And I was like, there's got to be some other substitute you can get. Like, isn't there? Get some pineapple vodka. I don't know. And she was just like haranguing him. And it was about something so stupid. And it's like, it's not like being at the Walmart and being like, do you mind checking if you have any extra gloves in the back? Like, that's one thing. But getting hopped up over something like Malibu seemed like, bitch, get some priorities, okay? We basically just need something that numbs us after 5 o'clock. And it doesn't really matter if it's Malibu, vodka, gin, get something you can digest.
Okay, so here's something. I mean, I've seen a lot of Karen behavior. When I was in high school, I was in a club called the Future Homemakers of America. It's like 90% Karen.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, I was a state president of that club, Naomi, because I was bored and it was like a way to achieve things. And I was like, well, I guess I'll keep running for things. It was 90% Karens. And like whenever we had any form of conference or any form of like gathering, there'd be big groups of people going out to lunch at like, you know, Hard Rock Cafe or whatever. And there would always be some Karen that was like, angrily like split it. But this was before, you know, the days of knowing what to call it. But it was like there was they had haircuts that we called power hair that we now know as the Karen haircut. I feel like in the discussion of the Karen, in the proliferation of Karen, there has been some talk of the fact that there isn't really a male equivalent. So is Karen sexist?
You want to go, Liz?
I mean, it's not. I don't think so. I don't think so. It's like people on Twitter who get worked up about it. And they're like, Karen's racist. Go fuck yourself. Karen's a Karen. Okay. They got the name because they do what they do. And like, I don't think it's sexist. I think it's unfortunate that there are women who have given rise to the need for the name.
But I think, though, there's some people, I think like lately, though, like so many things in this world, Karen, I really think, started with Black people to describe a certain type of white woman. And I think recently part of the sexism is that like white dudes have started using Karen. Like, I imagine the people who called you Karen, Alyssa, about your cats were dudes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because, again, as you're right.
They were actually, because I went to their bios, they were other white women.
Really?
They were just millennial. They were just young. Fucking assholes.
Okay, so this ruins my point. However, I think that that is what is kind of happening. Like dudes being like, you're a Karen just because you're basically a woman of a certain age, you know? Or like if you're a woman who maybe disagrees with them. And it's like, as always, white men, you're not getting it, okay? You've missed the point entirely. And you're trying
like,
to make it your own.
Stop appropriating it.
Yeah.
You know?
You
leave it for Black women to call white women. That's fine.
I think that white men do love to ruin things that Black women came up with and made cool and funny. And then it's like, no, we're going to do it, but in a stupid way and misappropriate it. It's like the word shade. Mm-hmm. Shade has been totally used in the wrong way for so long by so many people that it doesn't mean anything anymore. Anyway, I could go off. I mean, everybody should watch Paris is Burning.
I know.
You shouldn't be allowed to drive unless you've watched that. it's canon. But, you know, I was thinking, you know, during quarantine that, or, you know, lockdown, whatever you want to call it. I feel like it is a way for us to sort of externalize our worst impulses. Like I find myself feeling like a real scold during quarantine. Like I find myself being like walking around and like, if I'm wearing a mask, I'm like, they're not wearing a mask. They're not, you know, like I'm like tallying my own morality in like in public gestures of cleanliness. I don't know. It's like very, I feel like whenever memes take off, part of them are us recognizing traits in ourselves or traits that are kind of happening culturally and trying to like, be like, that person is doing this thing and not me. Like calling somebody a Karen, if you're like a white lady, is a way to be like, I'm not like that Karen. You know, I'm an un-Karen because I'm calling somebody this thing.
I'm a cool Karen.
Yeah. I'm a cool Karen. If you're gonna, you know, if you're gonna get the cops called on you, I'd want you to do it at my house. it's like, I don't know. Alyssa, do you feel like there's a level of crankiness and misanthropic base behaviors that are being externalized onto the Karen?
Yes. But I do think that Karen, like for some reason, like the woman who was in Michigan, who was like, look at my roots. Mm-hmm. Let us be free. Well, we all have, like, the thing that I think is different is like the Karens, I think, really complain about things that are happening to everyone, but somehow it's worse because it's happening to them. Right? That's kind of how I think of a Karen. And so when I saw her, I was like, fuck yourself. Like, are you kidding me? We all have roots, you know, like fucking live on, put it in a ponytail. I don't know. But no, that's kind of how I think of the Karens. It's not just like it's not all bad behavior. It's behavior that is actually tolerable when it happens. And only the Karen is mortally wounded and offended and feels the need to like shout.
Mm-hmm. It's a self-centeredness. It's them being like, again, this
is narcissism.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever watch videos of like a Karen freaking out? I mean, they tend to go, they tend to kind of pop up and go like semi-viral on a pretty regular basis. And do you get any joy from watching a woman who is kind of, she goes into a situation feeling very entitled that she's going to get what she wants out of the situation only to have it denied to her? I feel like that's the sort of arc of the viral Karen video. It's like, she goes in, she's like, I'm talking to the manager because this happened and the manager is right and the manager is calm. And she tries to call the police and the police show up and they're like, no, we're not going to help you. And she gets really, really mad. Like, do you ever watch those? Do you see the appeal of them?
I don't see the appeal. I watch them, but they don't make me happy. They make me very, very mad. I watched one recently about a Karen who was like calling the cops because the girl, a girl who she was in her car, and I think she was in the passenger seat and the, you know, the driver wasn't there. And Karen was like, you're parked over the line. You're parked over the line. And then she like wouldn't roll down her window. And then Karen was like, well, you're being rude to me. And she's like, it's a pandemic. I'm not rolling down my window for you, Karen. And it was just like, and I was so frustrated because what I want though, you say that arc, right? Is Karen being denied. What I need is for Karen to learn. I want to see that part of the video where Karen looks within and goes, am I a piece of shit? You know what I mean? And that never happens.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, one of the most important parts of like a good movie is that our main character grows. And in these videos, you're right, Naomi, there's no growth, no lessons were learned. Everybody just went on with their lives. So what do you think is, here's something I've been like kind of trolling on Reddit forums because I had to cancel my wedding, which is like, whatever. There's so many worse things to happen. I don't want to sound like Karen-y, but on some wedding forums, there is a sort of younger version of the Karen where there's like a woman who's like, I wanted to get married. It's my day. I'm going to have my wedding anyway. I'm going to go to a state where like public, you know, do you think that there's like a future in typecasting that person? And if so, what do you think that person would be called?
Madison.
So ready. You were so ready, Alyssa.
I don't even know where it came from, but it'll be a Madison. Like, oh, yeah. Madison.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like that. And it should be spelled, like as quirkily as possible.
M-A-D-Y-S-Y-N.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, I don't want to be at Madison, so I'm not going to make people come.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Gather in a big group. Let's take a quick break. Thank you guys for helping me distill the Karen. And I'm glad that we all agree that like, it's just let people have a fun thing. You know, I don't want to jump on people for being sexist for it. It's just fun, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
If you don't want to be called Karen, don't be a Karen. All right. Well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk Sanity Corner. Before we get to our Sanity Corners, we have a special treat for you. Moms need Sanity Corners too. And we got one from Megan Gailey's mom, Peggy, this week. So let's hear how Peggy is staying sane.
Hi, I'm Peggy, Megan Gailey's mom. Happy Mother's Day, ladies. Communicating with others has been my sanity. I've been writing letters to older folks, calling friends, and lots of Zooming with college buddies, my sleazy book club ladies, and the best part is kids and grandkids. I'm reading a book currently, A Gentleman in Moscow, about a man who's under house arrest in a beautiful hotel. I exercise for me, walking and biking every day. Those are my sanity savers. Stay safe, Hysteria friends. We'll get through this. I love Hysteria.
Okay, we're back. We're at the part of the show where we talk about things that are helping us feel saner in this very insane time. It is Sanity Corner. So we're going to all talk about ways that we're kind of coping with all of this. Alyssa, you and I have to come up with one every single week.
Every week.
We've got to be the sanest people in America.
It actually took me a little bit to come up with one for today.
What did you come up with?
Well, because I actually, if I'm being very honest with our listeners, I have not felt very sane this week. I have been, it has all kind of hit me this week, and there's been ups and downs. There's been some tears. There's been a lot. But the one thing that, like, for me, Sanity Corner is like, what's the one thing I do that can take my mind off of everything else? Because I have to focus so much on doing what it is. So, I have lights on my trees outside. It actually looks like a fucking merry-go-round because they're all different colors, but like not multicolored, like different, like the blue strand, the gold strand. And then I have white lights in the back and they've all broken and I fucking fixed them, okay, with fuses. And I had a like little monitor and I had a screwdriver and I had some toothpicks and I fucking fixed them. And I felt really good about myself. So my sanity corner was using YouTube videos to fix things that were broken and not call anyone, including my husband, for help.
Wow.
I fixed my vacuum cleaner recently and it made me feel powerful.
Like Hercules. You're like She-Ra, not Hercules. You're like She-Ra.
Totally like She-Ra.
Fucking conquer that shit.
Naomi, what's your sanity corner for the week?
Well, this may not be the most sane to anyone else, but you know, I really enjoy watching Homicide Hunter on Hulu. this is Lieutenant Joe Kenda. He's a retired detective, and he takes you through his cases. And he's just very comforting, that Joe Kenda. And you just watch him, and he tells you these stories. He kind of talks to you like a grandpa at dinner. You know what I mean? Who's like, in my day, he's like, the most dangerous animal, humans. And it's like, yeah. It's like, yeah. That's like, humans, I get it, Joe.
Humans named Karen.
Karens are the most dangerous animal. Honestly, there could be a whole show called Karen Murders. Where Karens do the murder. Uh-huh, like, uh-huh. It snapped. That's what snapped it.
It's true.
Yes. Deadly women.
Karen murdered.
Deadly women. Yeah.
How long is an episode of that show, Naomi?
42 minutes, you know, without the commercials. I'm watching
perfect
it on Hulu.
Length.
Perfect. And it's just like, and it's also like, again, you know what I mean? It's got the reenactments. He's doing the voiceover. It's really very like calm and straightforward. So it's almost soothing because you know how it's going to end. Joe Kenda's going to crack the case.
That is... Speaking of cracking the case, it kind of segues into my sanity corner this week. I've been watching a lot of noir films. So like hard-boiled detective films that are like in black and white. I tried to watch one from 1998 that had like Paul Newman and Susan Sarandon in it, and it did not do it for me. We stopped it. It was called Twilight.
Yes, I've seen that. It's not good.
It's so one of those 90s movies where like everything is a shade of mauve and it's like made for people over 50 to like go out on a date to, you know?
Yeah.
Like a sort of like unsexy, what was that Pierce Brosnan movie that Rene Russo was also in that everybody thought was so hot? It's like an unsexy version of that. But I've been watching old noirs. There's something about the summertime. Well, here where I live, it's like in the 80s and 90s every day. So it's very hot. I love cranking the AC, covering up with a blanket and putting on like Double Indemnity, Long Goodbye, Laura, The Killing, The Maltese Falcon. Although Long Goodbye is kind of, it's an Altman movie. So it's a little bit not, it's a little bit off form, but it's still really good.
I love Maltese Falcon.
Love Maltese That's Falcon. Great. It's such a like classic. Kiss Me Deadly. Have you ever seen Kiss
No.
Me Deadly?
No.
Holy shit. It has one of the best beginnings of all time and one of the craziest endings of all time. It's amazing. And it's so well shot. Murder, My Sweet, Vertigo.
Where are you finding these? Where are they on?
We have a Roku. So I just search for whatever it is. There's a Criterion channel that has a lot of noir on it.
Criterion channel.
And there's a lot of free stuff you can get on Prime.
Uh-huh.
And some of it you can, let's see, what's the one we watched? We watched The Long Goodbye and that was available for free on a channel called like the Noir Channel, where there's a lot of just like free
oh, perfect.
Noirs. Yeah. And some of this is like, some of it you can just find on YouTube.
Okay.
Like,
all right.
In its entirety. I think Kiss Me Deadly is on YouTube. Cause I was looking for the end scene of it to show Josh, cause it's crazy. I think I saw the whole movie there. So there's so many great, I mean, there've been so many noirs made because it's so like, you know, it's such a formula, but the good ones are so good. Like Vertigo, the first time I saw Vertigo, I was like, once it got done, I was like, what just happened? What is this? What is this movie? Anyway, love a good noir. Another thing I want to do, guys, before we go, is I want to plug Hysteria's Movie Club. We've been rewatching older movies that we've all seen already with fresh eyes, the fresh eyes and the crankiness of the pandemic. This week we watched Back to the Future, which was a trip. And you can watch us three talking about that movie on youtube.com/crookedmedia. You can also see our discussions about Heathers. We did 16 Candles. We did Pretty Woman.
While You Were Sleeping.
While You Were Sleeping. We've done a lot of the classics and we're still going to do, we have a pretty fun list on deck. So you should check out youtube.com/crookedmedia to see our movie club discussions this week and every week. And that is all the time we have for the show today. Thank you to Naomi for stopping by. Thank you to Alyssa for stopping by. Like you have anywhere else to go. If you were like, I can't make it, I'd be like, wow, that's insulting. I want to thank Christy Smith for stopping by and talking to us about the special election in California's 25th. And I want to thank you for listening. I know it's been a tough time for everybody. We really appreciate you sticking with us and hanging out with us during this time that nobody gets to hang out with anybody else. There will be more Hysteria for you next week. I am from another planet. This nation is our Janet. But these girls got a bandit. Hysteria is a product of Crooked Media. Caroline Reston is our producer. Our editor is Sarah Barrett, and Kyle Seglin is our sound engineer. Thank you to Juliet Beckstrand for production support and to our digital team, Elijah Cohn and Nadina Melkonian, for filming and editing our video content every week. Step.